Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament.
The Old Testament reading for the festival of the Holy Trinity is from Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from Acts chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. We don't like being accused of things. No one does. And this is especially true when we are actually guilty. When we get accused of something, we rant and we rail against it. It simply can't be. I didn't do that. And even if I did, so what? Who are they to judge me? I'm sure that they've done even worse things. We are sinners. And sinners can't stand being forced to face their own sin. However, something that we might like even less than being accused is being tricked. And in some ways, that's what happened to the people who were listening to Peter's sermon on Pentecost. Or at least it's what had happened to them. Their leaders and chief priests had told them that Jesus was a criminal, a blasphemer, who deserved to die for claiming to be God. And the people believed the leaders. It, of course, did not help that they had expected Jesus to overthrow the Roman government and return Israel to its former glory. But the leaders of the Jews had fanned those flames of anger and had used it to convince the city to kill their Lord and Savior. And what we see in our text for today is the Holy Spirit convincing people through the words of Peter that they had been tricked and that they were, in fact, guilty of murdering their Lord. Listen again, and hear how the Spirit does this through Peter. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God,
you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. The people hadn't forgot what Jesus had done when he had been on earth. There were stories of him going everywhere, stories of how he fed 5,000 people with just a handful of loaves and some fish. Stories of how he had walked on water, calmed a storm. Stories of how he had even raised someone from the dead. That is not the type of thing that you forget. Especially when you've actually seen this guy for yourself. You may have even actually seen those miracles for yourself. Seen lame men walk and blind men see. It's not like they had forgotten all of those things. And Peter here makes sure that they remember them. And he makes sure that they know that all of those things had been because of God. He then reminds them that Jesus had told people numerous times exactly what was going to happen during the crucifixion and during the resurrection. We see just one instance of that in our gospel reading today. When Jesus tells Nicodemus pretty much explicitly, I'm going to be raised up like the serpent. That is, I'm going to be raised up on a pole. He had told people this was going to happen. They remembered this. It wasn't like they had just randomly forgotten all of these things. And of course, they certainly had not forgotten that Jesus had been killed. And at this point, they probably had heard that it had not exactly been done in, shall we say, the most legal way possible. If they weren't there themselves, which they quite probably were, then they would have heard how Pilate had not wanted to crucify Jesus. That Pilate had judged him and that Herod had judged them, and both of them had found him guilty of the crimes that he had been accused of. And that the only reason that Pilate allowed him to be crucified was because the crowd had shouted for it. That the mob had wanted him dead. Again, that is not something you forget. And then, of course, they may have heard about Lazarus being raised from the dead, but I doubt there was anyone who had not heard about Jesus himself being raised from the dead. After all, it's one thing for you to raise another person from the dead, a very amazing thing, make no mistake. But there are stories of that in the Old Testament. It's not like this is completely out of the realm of their experience. But to raise yourself from the dead, or to have God himself raise you from the dead, which is what Peter talks about here, that was unusual. This is the first time that has happened. And to have so many witnesses who said that they had seen and met with him. Again, this would not have left their minds. This was still right there. It had only happened a month and a half ago. And Peter reminds them of that, brings up all of these things in order to try and get them to recognize again that Jesus is truly the Christ. But then he goes one step further. Because it's not enough that Jesus is just a man who was raised from the dead. Jesus had to be God, and he was God in order to save us. And so he brings up a prophecy that a great many of us probably didn't recognize as being a prophecy the first time we read it. But a prophecy that David speaks in Psalm 16, if you're interested. And Peter starts kind of poking holes in the common understanding of that prophecy. Because most people would have thought that David was talking about himself. And he says, well, hang on, wait a minute. David is most certainly dead. And his tomb is there. Like, you could actually go and visit it and see it. You probably couldn't go inside, but you would be able to see the tomb itself. And then he gets a very interesting point here, because he says that this prophecy is saying that whenever the person who fulfills it dies, that they won't see corruption. Or at least that's the word that it's translated as here in the ESV. However, it'd probably be a bit more accurate, I guess, to translate it as decay. Which is to say that David's body had decayed. That is, after all, the normal way that death works. That when your body dies, your body will slowly decay and turn to dust, as we are reminded. And yet, David was a prophet. And David, and we know David is a prophet because we see it in many places in his Psalms. And so, what if David wasn't talking about himself? What if he was talking about someone else? What if he was talking about Jesus? And that's the point that Peter is trying to make here. Is that in that prophecy, David was speaking of Christ. And we know that Christ was indeed not abandoned to Hades. We know that he went to hell, that he went to Sheol or Gehenna or Hades, or whichever word you happen to feel like using. But he did not stay there. And we know that Jesus did die. And Peter makes the point here that even though he had died, his flesh didn't decay. Which, to be fair, Peter would have been in the tomb. He likely would have even seen the body. He probably knew what he was talking about. Not only all of that, though. Jesus is alive. And this is perhaps the most important thing that he tries to prove to people, which is that Jesus is still living. He may not be walking around on the earth anymore, but don't worry, Peter has an explanation for that as well. Listen, therefore, as our reading concludes. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Jesus is Lord in Christ. And today on Trinity Sunday, we are talking about this because Peter is trying to prove to these people that Jesus is in fact the Son, the second person of the Trinity. Jesus wasn't walking around on the earth anymore. He had ascended already. And so he points to the scriptures that tell us that was going to happen. They should have expected it. God had even told this to them through David, tell them that he was going to exalt his son, his Messiah, that he was going to set him at his right hand, make his enemies his footstool. And then Jesus had told them about Pentecost. We heard about that last week when he told them that it was actually going to be better for them if he went to heaven so that he could send them the Spirit. And that is what the people who were listening to Peter were witnessing at that very moment. Don't forget that all of these things that Peter is saying, these are happening in the language of the people themselves. If they were Greek, they would have heard it in Greek. If they were Arab, they would have heard it in Arabic. If they were Roman, they would have heard it in Latin. They were actually witnessing a miracle with their very own eyes. Yet another testament that Jesus does what he says he's going to do. That God does what he says he's going to do. And therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, because he said he was going to. And he's done everything else he said he was going to do. This Jesus, whom you crucified. That means you too. Let you all therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Did that offend you? To say that you crucified Jesus? You likely have heard it before, but are you Christian enough to recognize that while you weren't there yelling, "Crucify him," that it was your sin that put him on that cross? Oh yes, we are all just as responsible for his death as the Jews that were in that courtyard shouting to have him executed. This Jesus God made both Lord and Christ. This Jesus is not just any Lord, though. He is the Lord. The Lord who has been spoken of in scriptures from all the way back in Genesis. The one who is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all things. Jesus is God, the Lord, and we killed him. But he is also Christ. That is, the Messiah who has been spoken of since the fall into sin. The promised one who is going to come and be the Savior of the world. The one who would, and in fact did, die for our sins. Who became our scapegoat, our sacrificial lamb. Jesus is the Christ. And because of his death, we can say along with David, "You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence." Jesus is the path of life. He is the one whose presence will fill us with gladness. This man, this God, this Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, he has always been there working for our good, and he will continue to do so forever into eternity. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.